Good morning, Lambrick. Scott here. Today we're taking a pause from our Hearing God study to hear from three of our missional partners, two local, one global, and how God has spoken and is speaking to them in these days. And with that, to mark the launch of a few new short-term missional opportunities with each of these partners. More about that a bit later. The focus of this morning comes out of the ongoing work of a great team among us that is our missional engagement team, led by Simon Goff. And they've been working hard together over the years, and especially in this season, to discern God's leading and explore opportunities for more of us to get our hands and our hearts and lives engaged with the work of some of our partners and the good work that they are doing with God in our world, both local and across the globe. So that's what this morning is about. And so we are going to lean in. I want to invite us to lean in together as we hear from Darren Reimer, our own Darren Reimer, who is the executive director of Sanctuary Youth Center, downtown Victoria. We'll hear from Chris Pollock, a pastor at the Mustard Seed downtown. And then finally, we're going to hear from Celan Govender, who is the CEO of Operation Mobilization Ships, OM Ships. He's a South African who currently resides in Germany, and he'll be speaking to us from there. And after that, I think Ross Harris will be giving us a little update of some of the new initiatives. So let's lean in.
Hi, my name is Darren Reimer, and I attend Lambrick Park Church. And it's my privilege to come and share a little bit about how I believe God is speaking to me today, and somehow weave that into an emphasis on short-term missions. It was back in 1989 that I was entering in my fourth year at college, Bible College in Regina, Saskatchewan, and I did not know what I was going to do once I completed my fourth year and got my Bachelor of Religious Education degree. I had some reluctance about going into pastoral ministry and felt that maybe there was something else God had in store for me. I spent many hours in prayer and seeking God, and lo and behold, I had an opportunity given to me to go on a short-term missions trip to the Philippines. I applied among 13 other applicants, and six of us were chosen, myself included. And I was so honored that God would lead me in this direction, and that I'd be able to go to the Philippines for a one-year missions trip, going there to partner with Christians on college campuses and disciple other students. That program, if you're interested, was called SOM, Philippine Student Alliance Lay Movement. Well, I applied and I got accepted, but as the day drew near, I was going to go and join my five other students and friends. I started to get cold feet. I went to the director at the time and said, I think I want to back out. I was scared. I was uncertain. And I was lacking faith. And he encouraged me and he said, Darren, you need to go. And it was another student who had gone on a previous trip just like that, came up to me one day while I was in a hallway at school, and he came up to me and said, Darren, I just have one verse for you. In Matthew 28:18-20, he said, Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, and I'm with you always. Well, that was it. That's all I needed. And I knew I was supposed to go. So I left to the Philippines. And I'm not going to describe that whole year, otherwise we'd be here all day. But I just want to say that initially I was scared, I was reluctant, I was doubting. And God met me and encouraged me, and he helped me take that step of faith, going halfway around the world, living for an entire year in another foreign country, and serving alongside of my brothers and sisters in Christ there. So my message today is that God honors faith. God honored the faith of Abraham. He honored the faith of Jesus and his disciples. Even getting into the boat and going into a storm, Jesus honored faith. And my encouragement to you is, don't let uncertainty or the storms of life keep you from getting into the boat, going with Jesus to the other side, to wherever he's leading us and leading you to go. The second thing I learned and am learning is that, like a good father, God always provides for his children. Now, some of you know, this is pressing the fast forward button, and some of you know I lead and direct a drop-in center for vulnerable youth in the city of Victoria. I had aspirations after my year in the Philippines to go be a missionary in a foreign country, maybe in a big city like Manila, and work with street youth. That was actually my direction and my focus. I had applied to different missionary boards and was prepared to go back to Manila at one point to work with street youth. But God had other plans, and here I am in Victoria, BC, along with my wife and three daughters, and we are working with street youth, but just in a different environment. We work with street youth here at Sanctuary Youth Center, and I've seen over and over again how God provides. I'll give you just quick two examples. God provides safety. Now, during COVID, we're concerned about the number of youth that come to the center. We're open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we're concerned about the youth and their safety and the safety of our staff and volunteers that interact with youth while they're here in the center. We have limits on how many youth can come into the center, but that doesn't stop youth from coming. We're seeing in the neighborhood of 20, sometimes 25 youth come a day. They come to get a warm meal. They come to shower, to clean up, and like yesterday, just simply watch a Halloween-related movie. And but God provides. And I just finished on Thursday writing an extensive grant to Red Cross for personal protective equipment and for training. I just finished. I closed my computer, and I got someone calling or knocking on the door saying they wanted to come in. I went outside and found it was a lady who I know through one of my staff. She had just finished volunteering or working with Elections Canada and said, "Darren, do you need some personal protective equipment?" And she gave me these, some face masks, some gloves, and some wipes. Do you know how hard it is to get Lysol wipes in the city of Victoria? God provides. Now, that doesn't mean I don't want the grant from Red Cross anymore. I still want their training. I want whatever they can provide, but God provides in amazing ways and through unexpected people and unexpected means. And I'm finding that joining him in mission in downtown Victoria, working with vulnerable youth, that God provides over and over. He also provides fun. The other day, one of my staff contacted me and said, "Darren, one of my friend's dads runs a skateboard shop. They have a bunch of boards they don't want to sell or they don't need anymore. Do you want them?" And I said, "Yes." And I've got 7 of these kinds of skateboards and decks to give to youth. I'm going to see if I can give them away this Christmas to some youth that are showing aspirations and motivation to get ahead, to excel at school, and to move forward in their lives. So two things I'm hearing from God is that God honors faith and that God provides. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Chris Pollack, and I grew up here in Victoria. And today I serve as a pastor at the Mustard Seed Street Church. Do you remember last winter watching the movement of this pandemic circle the planet? Seemingly, it reached us here on the west coast of Canada in mid-March. Do you remember feeling the fear, like anyone could have COVID-19? And so the encouragement was to stay home. What could prepare us for this? I remember right away, people were reflecting back on the bird flu, other coronaviruses, Ebola, and even the Spanish flu of 1918. At the Mustard Seed, I remember, I wonder what people who've held the torch before, ones I've looked up to over the years, like Reverend Gip Forster or Reverend Tom Oshiro, what they would have done when everyone was closing their doors for safety's sake, or what they would be doing in such a time as this.
I knew that while people were finding safety indoors, there were ones stuck without an option outdoors in our city. Ones without shelter to isolate in, ones without sinks and showers to wash up in.
And that chaos would be quick to happen if that first coffee in the morning wasn't there. Take everything else away save the coffee, and we'll be okay. Those first few days out there outside our doors were not easy for some in our community. I remember being at the doors and realizing the urgency that our market reopened sooner than later, when a mom looked me square in the eye and said, "Without your help, what do you expect me to do? I'll rob a store to feed my child." And if it came down to it, who wouldn't? Life prepares us for moments like these. I was 20 years old when I joined Operation Mobilization and served on board the Logos II for 2 years.
How had God prepared me for heart-wrenching moments I faced during those years? I don't know. 1 month into my time on the ship, a hurricane ripped into cities on the coast of Mexico. We were in Acapulco just after the storm rocked that city, and we were called to help out in the hills and villages that had been most affected. I was working beside a local man for most of the day, digging away, just digging wherever he dug. And I stuck with him. I dug too with all that I had. For what? I didn't know.
On a break later in the day, a friend of mine who spoke Spanish was speaking with him, and I found out afterwards that he had lost his family in the floods that had caused the landslides.
He was digging to try to find them. I was digging to try to find his family. I didn't know what to say. It didn't matter. I continued helping him with all that I could do. It was all that I could do.
Before we left, I stepped out of my shoes as he was barefoot, and a little smile. Somehow, in this moment, was a preparation through the confusion of pain and loss of love and trust. And stuff happens. We go through tough times, and God can lead us together through them. While one is broken, another one comes alongside with open hands to embrace, to help. There's preparation in moments like these moments of, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God prepares us.
In our humility, in our humiliation, finally it's when we choose to come out of hiding, to both serve and receive some help. It's a thin and vulnerable place that we can find ourselves in, and God draws near. No, it can be painful to learn of these thin spaces. Let's turn toward them, even as we turn toward the cross.
We're all in a very thin space right now, and perhaps it's getting even thinner. Here we can scramble to find the way out, or we can be still, as the scripture calls for us to, in times of great chaos. And know that God is near. And trust that God is near. Remember Jesus. He was born into poverty, and he faced oppression. He grew up hearing the voice of struggle, discrimination, inequality, all around him. This voice of pain from the margins, from ones displaced. Our God is nearest in these thinnest of places. Our God who is inclined toward the side of the poor. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Jesus continues to inspire the voice and presence of resistance for those who are experiencing the uttermost of despair and exclusion, discrimination, and inequality.
I was reflecting earlier today of when my daughter was younger, and she loved being launched into the sky. any parents out there remember launching their kids up into the air? She loved it. Seriously, she loved it. Right, Molly?
Yeah.
Up into the sky she'd go, and she'd float there with the biggest smile on her face. There was a time, and I can only just remember being launched by my dad, and I loved it too. Love and trust. I think God launches us when we're ready for it. What kid knows whether or not they're ready to be launched? There was a time that my dad stopped throwing me up into the air. However, I think if we were in a pool, even today, we would give a rocket from the shoulders a good try.
Once upon a time, I was launched into the mission field with OM. I had no clue that God would have had a launching like this planned for me in my life. What an adventure this was. In some wonderfully thin places that I found myself in with others in closeness with God around the world.
This launching prepared me and this very sensitive heart for the next one with the mustard seed and so on and so on. And here we are, all launched into a historically epic time together. When this launching happened, up into COVID-19, we rocketed into a story of confusion, loss, and fear all around. I did not realize that we would need to be prepared for the painful struggle, an even more painful struggle of homelessness and addiction. One more challenging than we've had to face ever before in the lives of our community on the street. Overdoses. Every day has been a launch into the unknown. Ultimately, each day a launch into the love of God and trusting Him. Every day uncertain, yet somehow there are smiles surprising us. Smiles creating character of endurance. Anti-fragile ones. Our community is rising up through this time stronger than we ever were before. And to think this launching is preparing us for what's coming next. So what do you think, Molly?
I don't think you can launch me anymore.
Are you ready? Just to give the next launching a try?
No.
See if I can still do it?
I don't think today.
Oh, come on.
No, Dad.
Yeah,
Dad.
Let's check.
No, it's okay. Dad.
Well, good morning, friends. Thank you so much for the opportunity that you've given me to share with you this morning at church. My name is Seelan Govender, and I come from South Africa. I am currently the CEO of OM Ships, working here in Mosbach in Germany. I want to express my gratitude to Lambrick Park Church, to Pastor Scott, to Ross, to the leadership team for the invitation. Thank you so much for the years of partnership that you have had with OM in sending and supporting people like Sue Priestley and working very closely with OM in Canada. I recently received a text from someone that I had never met. I actually don't know who this person is, but this is what the text said. Hang in there. We are all in this together. I got laid off from my job last week, and I am 9 months pregnant, expecting our first child to be born any day now. Jesus is our strength. I was tremendously humbled as I read this text and considered yet again the great many people around the world that continues to journey with us, even under very difficult circumstances in the current context that we are facing, that they are sacrificially still giving and engaging in prayer, in seeing people come in a very, very difficult time in our lives. Many of them, as this text would suggest, are unknown maybe to many of us as well. As we consider the current context in the world, every agency, every church, I'm sure, is going through a learning process of how do we engage in this new reality that we find ourselves living in. For OM Ships, this is no different. We are currently experiencing much joy, but also there are tremendous challenges as we navigate this pandemic and understand how we are to live and make an impact in ways that we are maybe unfamiliar to us. We are also praying much for many of our partner churches around the world, including Lambrick Church. We pray that the Lord will continue to lead you and guide you as you find ways to make ongoing impact in the community that you find yourself in during these days. OM Ships has been blessed to have 11 Canadians currently serving on board with us, and many more that have served with us over the years that you have been partnering with us. So we are incredibly grateful. I was recently reading Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, quite common and famous maybe to you. You've heard many people speak on it. It is the story of the feeding of the 5,000, and it talks about how Jesus was going in the synagogues teaching, and then he went out to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, and he was healing diseases, etc. And then it comes to this statement. He says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. And I must say that as I consider and look at all that is taking place around the world today, I sometimes get the sense that nations and communities are in the state of helplessness and are being harassed by an unknown virus that is around us. Where the sense of security that we once had, the sense of familiarity that we once had, seems to be all gone, and we simply at times do not know how to respond in the current context. And it is in this context that Jesus looks across these people and he has compassion on them. And I wonder, as we look at the world and all that is taking place before us right now, what goes through our heart, what goes through our mind as we claim to be followers of Jesus? Do we have compassion for all that we see taking place around us? Or are we in a state of paralysis because of the fear that is being confronting us day in and day out about the unknown effects of all that is going on around us? For us in OM Ships, the mission continues to be the mission, even when the context has completely changed. This context has not caused us to shrink back from our mission. So we are continuing to stay focused on what we believe the Lord has called us to do, as being catalysts to see the trajectory of least reached communities change so that they can have an opportunity to hear and understand and respond to the message of hope and transformation of the gospel that comes when people of the kingdom come into their contact and communicate it to them. So we closed the ship about 5-6 months ago as we started to emerge and understand more about the virus. The model of ministry stopped for us. We had about 400 people on board from 60 nations. The main model of ministry was welcoming public on board, holding events, engaging on board the ship, sending teams out into communities. We've had to stop that, and we've had to reimagine how do we continue to focus on this mission in light of these new realities that we have. It was during this time, as we were praying and understanding what the kingdom of God was and how does the kingdom continue to come into the hearts and lives of people in this current context, that we started to see emerging opportunities come before us. We have this global pandemic with us right now, this health pandemic. I think it's leading into this economic crisis around the world. As the longer this thing goes on, more businesses are being shut, more people are being laid off. That's feeding into this great economic crisis and uncertainty. But I also believe as that continues, it will emerge into one of the greatest humanitarian crises the world has known. As the resources get limited and the need gets so much greater, And the question we're asking ourselves is, as Jesus did in Matthew, he went around the communities proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. What is the good news of the kingdom in the current context that we see and know of today? And we know that the only way that good news of the kingdom can be transmitted to these communities is through the church of God, is through people like you and me living out our faith in Jesus. So as we understood that these realities of economic depression, these vulnerable communities, these marginalized communities, we started to ask the question, what does the kingdom of God mean to them? And it was in that context that we were invited by a few partners, OWEM in the Bahamas, Pacific Hope, a ministry of YWAM, to come and engage in this island that was devastated about a year and a half ago with Hurricane Dorian. Basically ripped most of the island, lives lost, communities destroyed, livelihoods destroyed. And we were asked to consider coming to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so it is in that context that we responded, and that's where we are right now, the Logos Hope. Community being hands and feet of Jesus, rebuilding, restoring, bringing a sense of hope and dignity. Not because we know it all, all because Jesus is with us and also desires to see transformation take place. So as we consider the season that we are in and asking the question, what is God saying to us? We realize God continues to speak heavily about the desire of his own heart to see the nations come into understanding of who he is and worship him. So God is saying that he has put, in our sense, what we feel, that he has put his people here on earth for a time like this to continue to demonstrate the love and life of Jesus in every aspect of society that we find ourselves in. Particularly for us in OM, that is to see vibrant communities of Jesus followers among least reached communities who today do not have the knowledge or the access or understanding to know who this great God is that you and I come to love and serve in our community. So when we consider the ship ministry, when we consider the 3 billion people today that would not know and understand who Jesus is, how to follow him, how to express worship and relationship and love to him, it compels us to say, how do we continue focusing on the mission and advancing, being a part of advancing his kingdom here on earth? The ship ministry focused primarily on 3 pillars, mobilizing. We want to see millions of churches mobilized to focus on least reached communities. When we talk of mobilization, we simply say, how do we help people who know and love Jesus and point them in the direction of whole communities that today do not yet know and do not yet love Jesus? What is our role in that? We want to see 1 million people praying persistently for the communities. We know that every great move of God has always preceded a significant time of prayer. And we want to see intercessors raised. Thirdly, partnership. We believe that the task before us, the trajectory of 3 billion people, 50,000, 60,000 people are being added to this number every day simply by birth rates. We need to change that trajectory, and we believe that we can only do that through partnership. The task before us is bigger than any one church, bigger than any one organization. It is for the global body of Christ to respond to. That is the desire of the Lord. And so we want to desire partnership with people so that we can see the advancement of the kingdom of God as never before. Because that's how we have been designed, is to work interdependently with each other. How do we want to see the trajectory changed? And that is to see OM ships as a catalyst. The Lord has blessed us tremendously with sending, with having people come to us to serve for a year or 2 years on board. Our desire is to see, as a result of their time on board the ship, through everything that they will learn and experience and work and have exposure to, that they will leave as disciple makers, going to affect change in every sector of society, particularly amongst the least rich communities, but also as people return to their communities, be it the academic world, be it the student world, be it the marketplace or ministry world. We want to see us making disciples, as scripture talks to us about. And disciple making is not a program. Disciple making is not a decision. Disciple making is a journey and a lifestyle. So for us in OM Ships, what do we mean when we talk about disciple making? We simply mean three things, which I believe you will resonate strongly with as you consider your role in the community you are part of there in Canada. For us, disciple making means three things. That is to be present. We want to help and teach people to understand how can we be present. And by being present, we simply say, how do we love God and love our neighbors and deeply invest in those relationships? Being present. The second thing is do the good works that God has prepared for us to do. We believe that our work matters to God. There is no separation between the sacred and the secular. We believe that we have been created in the image of God to do good works. And when we function in doing those good works, that becomes the visible expression of the kingdom of God here on earth. This is not separated for a select few that some may call missionaries. Actually, it is for the body of Christ. If we claim to follow Jesus, if we claim that we are created in the image of God, God has instilled in us skills and desires and passions to effect that kingdom here on earth. And it's for everybody in the church. As you live your life as a student, as you work in your profession, as you serve the community, you do that as an expression of the kingdom of God here on earth. So we want to do good works that God has created for us. Because when we do those good works, the Father is glorified. And that becomes the visible expression of the kingdom of God here on earth. And thirdly, when we talk about disciple making, we talk about teaching others to do likewise. How do we invite others? How do we help others? How do we journey with others to love God and love their neighbors as active participants in the kingdom of God? And that's disciple making. So as a result of everything we do on board, the core is that we want to teach people how to be disciple makers as a result of their time on board. And we want them to go and do that in communities today that do not follow and love Jesus, not because they don't want to, it's because they don't know. And the role of the church, the role of people that claim to be followers of Jesus, is to reflect the glory, the love, the life of Jesus in these places that today would have no access to him. So I am thrilled that you are partnering with many agencies, and I want to encourage you to embrace that. Embrace that. We partner with all of God's people in what we're doing in attempting to see the mission of God fulfilled. But recently, there's two things that have come to me more pertinently, more strongly, more powerfully in my own heart and spirit as I consider all that is taking place. When we look at this picture of Revelation 7:9, there's this image of this great multitude that is gathered around the throne. And they are worshiping the one that is sitting on the throne. What we notice about this multitude is that they came from every tribe and nation and tongue and language. How do we know that they were every tribe if they didn't look differently? How do we know that they were every language if they didn't speak different languages? More than ever now, what people are craving for, as the pandemic has revealed, it's drawn the curtain back on these issues, is the issue of identity and belonging. Identity for you and me is not so much that we follow Jesus, but is how do we use everything that God has given us through our past, through the experience, and bring our authentic self, created in the image of God, to a space where we can contribute towards the advancement of the kingdom of God, and that is not set aside for a certain few, but for all of us that claims to be followers of Jesus. And when we are able to do that, to bring our authentic self, we also find very quickly that we belong to a space, as this multitude belonged in that space as part of this kingdom worshiping. There's the sense of belonging, that we belong in the space to advance the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, you and I have to foster the sense of identity, not only in knowing who I am in Christ, but in all of the experiences that God has given me. And how do I bring that to bear fruit for the kingdom of God and know that I can belong in the space and not seem as an outsider? Because the gospel, at the heart of the gospel, it is not primarily about proclamation. It is not primarily about demonstration. The heart of the gospel of the kingdom is about transformation. God transforming a people, a community for himself. So my prayer to you as you consider short-term missions, for me, short-term exposure trips are on-ramps towards what God wants to do and shape us into the future and where he wants us to be. A short-term trip by itself is never the end of something. It is always the journey. So my prayer for you as you consider all that God is doing in your community and as you consider the world is that we don't shrink back from the mission that God has given us. That we continue to fulfill his mission and that it is for everyone, because we are created in the image of God, given skills and talents, and that we will continue to make disciples wherever we find ourselves, but particularly among least reached communities today, for which OM Ships is a catalyst to see that trajectory change. So thank you so much for your partnership. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to share. And I want to continue to ask you to pray for us in these difficult days. Pray for skilled people. I want to invite you to come and join us on board the ship. It's not about a ship at the end of the day. It is about the mission of God and what God wants to do among the nations through people like you and me. And we want to invite you to come and learn with us so that we can see God do some phenomenal things around the world, even in the context of this pandemic that is creating great challenges for us in these days. These are unique times for all of us. These are certainly unique times for the ship ministry. But I want to ask you to continue to pray that the Lord will keep us focused on the mission that he has given us. My prayer for you is that the Lord will keep you focused on why he has you in the community that you are part of, and that you will truly become the lifeblood of the community, not only a place that meets on a Sunday where you gather together, but truly that you will become the lifeblood of the community that you are part of, so that the demonstration of the kingdom of God could be made real in the hearts and the lives of everybody, not only those that enter your church building, but for all of us, for all to see. So thank you again for the opportunity. My prayer continues to be with you, that the Lord will lead you and guide you. And I want to strongly encourage you to come and join us for a time on board the ship. Join us for prayers, but more importantly, let's join God in what he is doing around the world. Thank you very much. God bless.
All right, so before I just a word of thanks from me, I want to hand it over to Ross Harris from our missional engagement team with a couple announcements about our new initiatives. Go ahead, Ross.
Good morning, Lambrick. My name is Ross Harris, and I'm a member of the missional engagement team. And I have a few announcements to make this morning. Firstly, I'd like to introduce the latest mission organizations and missionaries that Lambrick has made connections with. We have adopted our own Darren Reimer as a long-term individual ministry. Welcome aboard, Darren. We are also supporting the organization he leads, the Sanctuary Youth Center, as a local community ministry. We are also developing a partnership with Operation Mobilization CHIPS, and this is in connection with our short-term mission strategy. Our focus this year is short-term missions, and as Scott would remind us, we are all called to everyday mission. In the footsteps of Jesus, we discover everyone everywhere being invited every day to participate in God's redemptive work in the world. The short-term mission focus is about taking time out of our normal daily life to experience a new opportunity to serve and to learn, backed by the prayer and financial support of your supporters at Lambert. These opportunities are normally out of your comfort zone, using talents and acquiring new skills, and often interacting with people we are not familiar with. In cooperation with Operation Mobilization CHIPS, Sanctuary Youth Center, and the Mustard Seed Street Church, we have developed a number of short-term mission opportunities for next summer. And these are available to high school students, college and university students, and working young adults. Lucy has spent a lot of time constructing new web pages for our missional engagement team. And I'd encourage you to go online and look at these, and you will find more information about these short-term mission opportunities, about every mission, missionary, and program that we are engaged with, and other resources about missions. So please check out these new pages. Thank you very much.
All right, so I just want to say a big thank you to our MET, our Missional Engagement Team, and that's Brenda Lee, Val Johnson, Kyle Moniz-Slater, Ross and Denise Harris, and Simon Goff. Also, Jeff and Rosemary Gaunt have been a big part of this team over the last number of years, too. So I just want to say thank you for their ongoing work for us and what's led to us sharing today and hearing from CLAN, Chris, and Darren. It's been a gift just to hear God's work in their different lives and the threads of God's leading and work, and even seeing how Operation Mobilization showed up in Chris's story and catalyzed him into a life of serving on the streets of Victoria. So yeah, it's beautiful. So with that, let's just turn our hearts to God together as we sing our closing song, Christ Be Magnified. It's a perfect song for us to conclude with today. A prayer of a recognition that all of creation has been made to glorify God and us too. And may our lives serve, be pulled into that story, pulled into that praise, and also invite others into it with us. So let's sing.